wrote on the board, ask, seek, knock, ye shall find. I was thinking about a verse or a couple of verses over in John the 16th chapter and the 23rd verse. We've studied these things a little bit lately, but I want us to think a little more about them this morning. I believe the Lord would have us to think about these thoughts this morning. John 16 and 23 says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." I'd like for us to just soak that up for a minute. The scripture we just read. Do we realize what it says? Jesus was speaking to these people, and Jesus didn't just throw words out. He said, "Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." You know, I hope we recognize this morning that it is the intent of the Father that our joy be full. It is. It is His intent. And we read that through various scriptures, we find that His intent is that our joy might be full. And so He says, ask that your joy might be full. And I want to think a little bit about this morning and what it means for the Lord to give that to us. In Matthew 7 and verse 7, we read the scripture here, Matthew 7 and 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, this morning, I believe the Lord is a lot more interested in us receiving good things than maybe we recognize. I know the world has an idea of Christ and of God. Somehow Satan, in his work, has twisted and made them believe that all those things that cause them trouble, sin of every kind causes trouble, doesn't it? There isn't any sin that doesn't cause trouble. And so all of that, somehow, Satan has made alluring with glitter and with promises and with all of those things. But the Lord has told us here, He said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts," even the evil, even the carnal, even just the natural persons, they know how to give good gifts unto their children. They like to give good gifts unto their children. And He says, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" And so this morning, I want to look at that a little bit. I want to think about these three things that the Lord told us a little bit. And mainly, the first one, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you." You know, that's the Lord's words. That's not my promise to you. That's the Lord's promise to you and to me. And He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." These are promises from the Lord. "For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Then He gives that little parable to us again, that little story. But I want to think this morning about how that the Lord does those things. And many times I think we get it in our mind a little bit backwards, and we are looking for the wrong things, and we're asking amiss, and we're thinking the way the world thinks. And the world thinks the more things I can have to consume on my lust, the more of this world's goods that I have that I can buy the things that make me happy. And if I can have all of those things, then that's getting, isn't it? That's happiness. But that doesn't bring happiness, does it? We find all around us it doesn't bring those things. But I believe the Lord wants to give us something that goes a lot deeper than that. And so he says, ask for it, and it'll be given to you. And I want to look in James, the first chapter, and 4 and 5. I know that real often we hear the request for wisdom. And we all do that. We all make that request from time to time, don't we? We need it all the time, wisdom from the Lord. And so James 1 and 4, it says here, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is a real piece of this. And if he goes on to say, after he says, let patience have her perfect work, he says, so that you might be perfect and entire, complete, because patience is going to bring something about that nothing else can. So he said, let it have its work. Let it work in our lives. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God gives to all men liberally wisdom? Do we believe that? You know, I think about those kind of things, and sometimes it's like, Lord, I need more wisdom. Well, you know what? He says, come and ask. He said, I'll give it to everybody liberally. I'll give you plenty, and I won't even get after you for not having it. And so he goes on to say, it shall be given unto him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And I think about these kind of things and how deficient we feel sometimes, and wondering, Lord, I need more wisdom than I have, or I need more of this or that. Do you know it's okay with God for us to have a deficit? It's all right with him for us to be deficient. You know why? Because he made us that way. He made us to not have all that wisdom. He made us with a deficit. And he made us so that he could fill that for us. And so he wants to give that to us. And we want to remember that the Lord is not looking for us to attain it, for us to grasp it in our own strength and have those things. And I want to read a little story here in the Bible that is seems like it might not be connected, but I believe it's very much connected. And that is in Acts 16, and we find the story there, Acts 16 and 19. We find there Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, the good news to people. And here was this young woman, this calls her a damsel. If you start up higher, you'll see it, especially in 16. And it came to pass in 16, when as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, sometimes the devil knows something good's going on, doesn't he? But he wasn't up to any good. And so speaking through this young lady, he just kept on creating chaos and problems until the Lord took care of that after a while. And verse 19, it says, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach them customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them. Now I want to notice that Paul and Silas wasn't doing anything wrong. They weren't doing anything wrong. But they took a beating. And it says that they took them. It says they commanded to beat them, which isn't a little whipping with a belt. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I can imagine, I would like to think about a couple of us being in there and what would be going through our minds. You know, am I getting out of here? Now, Paul here and Silas could have been laying there with their feet fast in stocks, and here they couldn't get up and move around or do anything, and they had just took an awful beating. And you think about their situation and the fears that could have been in their mind. You know, they killed Jesus, and they killed James, and they killed John the Baptist, and they would like to kill all of us. And what's going to happen to us now? And I can only imagine what was in their minds, what could have been in their minds. And I just want us to think about our lives, too. You know, do we sometimes, here they were doing good. There wasn't anything bad they were doing. They were doing the will of God. They were preaching the gospel, going about doing good, cast an evil spirit out of this girl and restored her to her sanity. And God did all those things. And then they take a beating for it. Do you know this morning, sometimes we can start looking around and wondering why. They could have wondered why. Why? We've been doing God's will. Why do we take a beating like this? Why is there trouble like this all around? Why? They could have had so many questions, so many whys. But is that what Paul and Silas did? I want us to think about when we ask the Lord and when we seek Him and when we knock. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to fulfill our inmost desires. But it's not the way the world does it. And so it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them in their affliction, in their trouble. They prayed and sang praises unto God. Their minds were not on what was going on because they had complete faith, I believe, that God was in there with them. They had complete faith that they were in the will of God and they were doing His will and God was going to take care of them. And it's okay that we took a beating. And it's okay that our feet are fast in the stocks. And it's all right that we can't wash the blood off of our backs right now. And maybe we'll get infection and all of these things. And it's okay that maybe we'll get killed. You know, but they prayed and they sang praises to the Lord. Folks, this morning, I just want to look at some of the pattern that is laid down before us. Jesus told us to ask and we would receive. Now, you know, these brethren, I believe they were asking the Lord, Lord, let your gospel go forth. Lord, let the word of the Lord be rich, heal and bless. And then they get thrown in prison and beat and all of these things. But it goes on to say, all the dynamics changed. Because the God of heaven was on board. And I want to encourage us today, folks, not to look at the beatings, not to look at the fears, not to look at the troubles, not to look at the future in a way that disturbs us, but to look with faith. And these brothers looked with faith, and they began to pray and praise the Lord. Folks, that is a sacrifice, isn't it? But it was well received of the Lord, because I will tell you what began to happen. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. What would you have done? I'm not killing this man. He's the one that can cause me trouble. Shall I let him kill himself? What would you have done? But you know what? Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Folks, God is in the middle of what we're doing when we're gods. God is in the middle of it all. He sees what's happening, and he wants, what he takes great pleasure in is when we call upon his name and give him honor and praise and thanks in the middle of our battles. You know, it says here, this man came in and came trembling. Now this man, did he beat them? I don't know who beat them. I know he put their feet in the stocks. He received a real charge. He was in charge of them. I have my doubts he was all that gentle with them. But you know what? He said here and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Folks, you know God's wanting to work in our lives today. We're asking, but sometimes maybe we're asking amiss. We're asking with good intent. "Lord, bless my life. Just give me lots of good things. Make me real happy so everybody can be saved. Just pour out upon us. Give us lots of things and just show your power to the people and just bless everything we do." And the Lord's not looking at it like that. He's wanting to let there be such a contrast in our life that he's able to give us what nothing else can give us, joy, in such a way that it moves people that just can't understand and can't hardly believe that God could do such. What is this? These men, I wonder what that jailer at first thought when he first heard them start singing and praising God. I wonder if he was taken back, if he was, what is this? But you know what? Pretty soon this man was saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You know, this morning, I just want us to realize today, the Lord may not take care of everything just like we are thinking he will, but he nevertheless tells us to ask that our joy might be full. He might give us something we didn't expect. He might give us a little road of affliction for a while. And he might want us to sing and pray and praise the Lord in the middle of it. God is my Redeemer. You know, I know this morning that's not natural. And I know that's not always maybe we don't always just feel that way. But folks, I believe there's a praise and a song to the Lord that he wants to give us that is life-changing in the battle. I will tell you, when they began to do that, I think the prison walls couldn't hold them. The things began to shake and tremble, and God began to work. Folks, what God is wanting is, he's wanting this little heart of ours. He's wanting this life of ours to be laid down at the Lord's feet. Lord, whatever you let come into my life, or wherever I'm at, Lord, I'm going to seek you. They could have centered on their fears, and they could have centered on their anger. They could have been angry. Why did this happen to me? And they could have been fearful of the future. What is going to happen now? But they didn't do that. They centered on the Lord. We're the Lord's people. We're the Lord's folks. You know, this morning, we're the Lord's people. I believe we have a lot more available to us than we realize. And the Lord says, ask that your joy may be full. And when we ask and when the Lord starts letting things come into our life, I believe He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to quit looking at the battle and quit looking at the things and quit allowing it its place to confound us. The Lord wants to bring glory to His name. And He wants to bring some praise out of our lives. Is there anybody that God doesn't want to do that with? I don't think so. I think the Lord wants to bring out of our lives something good. And I believe when He gets all the glory, there isn't much can stand that. There isn't prison walls can stand that. There isn't situations can stand that. But we've got to take our eyes off the battle and get it on the Lord. And so I want to encourage us this morning. God has things. He has joy He wants to give you and me. But we're going to have to find it in His way and not in our own thoughts. I want to look back at Proverbs 2 and 7. I believe that fits what we just read in this message. But you know, the Lord wants to give to us so much. Listen to what He says here in Proverbs 2. He says here, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He lays up sound wisdom for who? For the righteous. For the smart? No, for the righteous. For the well-to-do? No. For the poor? No. For everyone. For the righteous. That's who He lays up sound wisdom for. And He tells us to ask and that He would give to us liberally in our lives. And so we long, Lord, what way do my feet take? How do I go? He says, look to me. Get your eyes off of the battle. Get your eyes off of the things and get it on me. And begin to give me glory. And you'll find what I have for you. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. I want to go back and read the first 6 verses before that now in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Do you know this morning? It doesn't help us to ask God simply for His opinion. If we want the Lord's opinion, we're never going to find it. If we just want to know because we want to know, because we want to then decide what we're going to do, God's not going to reveal Himself like that. But if we will incline our ear unto the wisdom, unto the Lord, and apply our heart to understanding, Lord, if You will help me know what to do, Lord, what I must do, I will do. No questions asked, and I'll do it all. Period. You know, when we ask like that, we're going to receive, aren't we? There's a way to ask the Lord. Lord, I have no strings attached. You know what it takes for us to detach the strings from our heart? But I want this. I want my life to be like that. I want this in my life. I want this in, you know what? I have to own this, or I have to be in this situation. No, we don't. If we want the mind of the Lord, we have to apply our heart to His understandings. We have to apply our heart to asking Him for His will, not for His opinion, but for His will in our life. Lord, here is my life. I want Your will and Your will only. And do you know, when we ask Him in that way, He's going to give it to us. He says, ask that your joy might be full. Now, if we think our joy depends upon what we're asking for, and our joy has to depend on that, Lord, I'm asking You for this. I got to have this because I can't be happy without. I want to tell you something. Ask that your joy may be full. Ask that God might fill your heart with His joy, the kind that can praise Him in a prison cell, the kind that can pray to Him and keep our heart and our life on the altar when we're in the bad times and when we're in those kind of places. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I have known people that studied more than you and I have. Probably anybody here. I've known people that studied, but they didn't live it. They didn't take it into their lives and allow it to work, but they know a lot of the word. You know, this morning, he says here, if you cry after knowledge and lift us up thy voice for understanding. And folks, if we're asking for God's understanding in our heart and life, and not just because we would like to know, we want to know so we can't get too far from it. No, we want to know because we want to do God's will completely and fully. If thou seekest her as silver, you ever seen somebody give their life for silver and gold? It's all around us, everywhere. People, I remember a man that moved to Guthrie, and one of his things, he didn't come to church here, but he moved here because he wanted to better his family, his relationship with the Lord. And some had gotten in touch with him, and he liked what he saw, and he wanted to know more and all those things. But, you know, he told me after a while, he let me know money was the big deal. I'll do anything for that. I'll sell anything but my wife for that. He made statements. Anyway, it was just obvious where his heart was. And, you know, I sorrowed for that. Because the Lord was dealing with this man. He was bringing him along. But he set his heart not on the Lord, but on the things that he thought the Lord was going to give him. Or however that was. And you know, it ended up a real sad chapter. And the man, his life hasn't worked very well. But it says here, if thou seekest her as silver, if you seek for God's understanding, wisdom, understanding of his ways and thoughts, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And so I just want to encourage us this morning to not seek the Lord for his opinion, but to seek the Lord. Lord, I just simply want your will. I want it above my will, period. And you know, when it comes like that, the Lord begins to work in our life, doesn't he? But when we are looking at the fears, when we are looking at the wants, when we are looking at our own desires and all of those things, and they are paramount in our life, we're not likely to get God's mind. We're likely to get our mind and think it's God's mind. And that's a dangerous place. So I want to encourage us this morning that we look only to the Lord. Lord, I want your wisdom. You've laid up sound wisdom, the kind that's good for folks, for the righteous. And I want to be one of those this morning. I want to read to you another little story. I know our time is getting out. I want to read another little story of a man that did this kind of thing. In Daniel, the 9th chapter, in the 3rd verse, we've read this a number of times. I know, I love this passage because it tells me of a man that sought God and found him. And the Lord blessed his life. And all through his life, God worked. He worked with kings with this man. The Lord had his hand on Daniel. But we find out a little of what Daniel was like and what was in his heart and mind by the things that are written about him. In Daniel 9 and 3, it says here, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I don't think Daniel fasted all the time, but he set his face to seek the Lord. And he wanted something from God. And it says, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And he goes on and makes a confession there. And down in verse 19, we pick this up again. And Daniel says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. You know, Daniel just wanted God. That's what he wanted in his life. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, you know, he was just being completely honest before the Lord, confessing exactly where he was at. And he said, while I was doing that, you know, we looked at Paul and Silas. I believe when we start touching the Lord like that, folks, things start happening that are amazing. It does. Things start happening. And so while that was going on, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, verse 21, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me. Isn't that what we want? Oh, he had spent some time before God. He had been searching not for God's opinion, but for his voice, for his will. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. I picked something up from there. You know, there was a beginning of time there that the Lord was sent the answer to Daniel. It hadn't got to him yet. I don't understand all of those things, but you know what? Sometimes we just quit, don't we? We just give up and we just give in or whatever. But here he says, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. What a blessed thing. The Lord began to deal with Daniel and began to reveal things to him because Daniel wanted God more than anything else. This morning, I urge us today to seek the Lord in that way and to ask him and to seek him and to knock. And I think we'll find a lot more than we thought we would find. I believe that this morning. We'll find a lot more than we thought we would find. Ye shall find. That's what the scripture says. And ye shall find. Do you know we'll find more than we ever thought of? You know that our minds can't take in. What did the Lord begin to tell Daniel? You know, Daniel was seeking him. Here it had been 70 years. Now, Lord, now what? Now what? It's been 70 years. Well, the Lord had something really special to share with Daniel. Don't we know the Lord is this way? He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Oh, when did that happen? In Jesus. And he begins to tell Daniel the very time and give him these things to Daniel at this time when he was seeking him. And he began to share his heart with Daniel. He said, you're a man greatly beloved. Don't we love that this morning? Don't we feel that this morning? A man, a woman, greatly beloved of the Lord. One that the Lord shares his mind with. Folks, the Lord wants to be in our lives, I believe, more than we realize. He wants to be. He longs to be. And he says, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And he goes on there and he tells about the number of years it's going to be and all that. And the Lord begins to share with Daniel some things. Sometimes we just come and we ask for what we want. And we think about that. And we get upset if we don't get what we want. And we feel jilted. And we seek. And we knock. But James said, we can do that amiss, that we might consume it on our own things, our own lusts, our own strong desires. And the Lord's wanting to give us something so much greater this morning. Oh, let's be one of those this morning that the Lord does that with. You know, in Luke, it speaks about the one, and I know you've heard that so many times, but let's look at it again. I believe the Lord wants to feed us with his bread over and over. In 11 and 5, And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I know the Lord has given us a lot of promises. And the Lord does give us a lot of good things. Who among us could not say that the Lord has not given all of us many good things? Hasn't He though? So many more things than we could have deserved. Maybe than we could have even asked for. But God has done that for us. But do you know this morning, the Lord's wanting to tell us, don't just come and knock or and seek and ask a little bit. But he says, importune like this one did. Come and come back again and keep coming. And things that we really need from the Lord, I believe he wants to give us things that are good for us. Now, sometimes the things we think are good for us are not the things God thinks are good for us. So we have to adjust to his wisdom a little bit. And I believe the Lord wants to give that to us today. And I want to read to us a little bit more before we close here. In Revelations 3 and 20, this is another beautiful scripture. And we see here where the Lord Jesus says, behold, 3 and 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know what? We're not the only ones knocking. You know he's knocking too? Do you know he wants us? He wants in our life just like we want him. And he wants it to be so even more so. He gave his life for that cause. So he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. A lot of times we don't open the door. We're thinking that's not the Lord. And he's wanting us to open the door. Lord, I know that you're knocking to come into my life. And I'm holding you at a arm's length sometimes. Because I'm waiting for God to come. Not you. not what you're coming like. I'm waiting for the big blessing. And he's coming in a different way. And he's coming to our life and he's wanting to come to us. He's wanting to work in our life. He's wanting to change us. He's wanting to do all. Well, how's he going to do that? Unless he comes into our life in that way. I don't want to speak ambiguously. Unless he comes sometimes through the hammer that hits on the rock and breaks those hard places. Unless he brings things to us sometimes that are hard to bear. And we're thinking, Lord, where are you? And he's saying, I'm right here in your life. And I'm trying to get you to heaven. And I want you to get your eyes off of your problem and I want you to get it up on me. And I'll take you there. And I'll work all your things out. And I'll cause the prison walls to start shaking and the doors to open. And I'll do all those things. But I want you to look to me. I want you to give me glory and honor in the midst of all those things. Not going to read it, but we all know about the widow woman that came to the unjust judge. And we read that some couple of months ago. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of these things this morning. Keep coming to the Lord. Keep humbling ourselves. Keep coming back. Keep asking. Lord, he's the one that told us to do that. He's the one that gave us these parables about importuning and about coming before the unjust judge and keep coming back. He's the one that told us that. And so I want to read one more place here in James 4. And 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. Do you know that when we get our eyes off of the things that God wants us to have our eyes on, we start this process. First, he says, whence come wars and fightings among you? They come from the lust that war in your members. The things that we want worse than we want God's will. The things that we want at all costs. The things, I gotta have this. And so we start thinking about that, and we gotta have our will interjected into our life. And we find that, and he says, whence come wars and fightings? Where does all this come from? I'll tell you, when we start taking our way, it deteriorates very quickly. And we start finding ourselves fighting and warring and on the warpath, and on the warpath with God even, and on the warpath with somebody else. And we find those things, don't we? And God is wanting instead to cause those walls to shake and those doors to open and things to be different. And he wants, like Daniel, to come down and begin to speak with us. Now, Daniel could have said, it's been 70 long years and I'm ready for this to quit. You know, he could have said, Lord, come on. I'm tired of being in Babylon. You know what? Daniel came and he made his confession to the Lord. Lord, we have sinned. We are the ones that went astray. And now we need your help. And Lord, would you hear our cries? And Daniel made a long prayer in there. You can read about it. And he fasted and he sought the Lord. And we find God giving to him. You know, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, this morning, I believe when we receive the ways of God into our life, they work. And so this morning, the Lord help us that we don't ask amiss, but that we ask, Lord, as Paul and Silas had to be asking there, Lord, whatever your will is here, I believe I'm in here by your will, and I believe that when you get ready, you can get me out. It looked like that may be the end of the road for them. Folks, that may be us today. And it may be, what am I going to do? I want to tell you what we can do. We can go before the Lord with all of our heart and search for him and seek for him and knock and ask. And he said, you'll find. And I believe that this morning. We'll find more than we bargained for. We didn't know God could pour out upon us like that. I didn't know God was so real. I didn't know that God could be in our lives like he is. But folks, don't we know? What we really want is this thing to be satisfied in here. We don't want all the things of this life and this world that'll take us and get our hearts sidetracked and all. We want the things that will take us to heaven. And so when we pray, and as we pray, Lord, just lead me closer to you and give me what you see that I need in this. And if you want me to be in this prison a while, Lord, whatever your will is. I know that's not easy words. I don't speak those words rashly, because those things have great fear sometimes. It hurts when you're beat. It hurts when things happen that are negative and backwards and terrible. And sometimes they happen that way, don't they? But I believe that the Lord wants us to pick up, take our eyes off of all those things and lift them to heaven, knowing, believing, having faith, that if I'll go God's way and take his way fully, he'll work it out in his will. And he'll work it out in a way that's better than I ever could have. Do we believe that this morning? Let's search for God in that way. Amen.